You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com. You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
This is The Jerry Callahan Show.
A quick update on the frat boys at the University of North Carolina, those American heroes who protected the American flag when the scumbags tried to take it down and throw it in the dirt. They started a GoFundMe page to throw a rager, and it's up to, are you ready for this, Ironhead? $516,672.
That's quite the party.
I believe their goal was 20 grand or something. Mm-hmm. They got 10 grand from a bunch of people, including Bill Ackman, the billionaire that went to war with Harvard, who's fed up with all the anti-Semites in this country. They're going nowhere. This thing is going to just keep building. They're promising to donate much of it to charity, which you kind of knew because these are decent kids. Many of them already have appeared on cable news and TV shows, and they just look like real regular guys. They don't look like mutants like who are out there protesting in favor of Hamas. They're going to have one wild party. John Rich, as we mentioned, from Big and Rich, has already volunteered to perform for free. And a bunch of other people. I think Dan Bongino is going to do a show from there. It's going to be nuts. And I'm not sure when they're closing it out. But it's open if you want to donate to Pi Kappa Phi, these great Americans who saved the flag. By the way, the flag was at half staff for those four U.S. Marshals, those police officers who were murdered 2 hours away by some crazed criminal shot dead a few days ago. The flag was at half staff when the scumbags tried to take it down and replace it with a Palestinian flag. That's the University of North Carolina. It's not going so well for Joe Biden at many other schools. Mm-hmm. He has a major problem on his hands, and it has just begun. This thing's not over for a number of reasons. One, there is no price to pay for these lowlifes who are trashing campuses, harassing Jewish kids, disrupting life on campus during finals. Here we're looking right now at the after effects of the protest at UCLA. I find this amazing. When you see a protest on the right, and you don't see many, like a March for Life in D.C., they clean up after themselves. They pick up any trash they may have left behind. These punks do no such thing. They don't care. And they just trash their own campus. And you know some janitor, worker at UCLA will be forced to clean up the mess. And when you look at this, keep in mind that every one of these people that made this mess will lecture you on how you're destroying the planet if you're driving an SUV or using a plastic straw. They can do this to their own campus and turn around and tell you that they love the environment. They're so concerned with Mother Earth. These are just the worst people. That's the best thing about this whole movement. It is revealing so much about the pro-Hamas crowd, about the radicals who hate Israel, who hate Jews, who hate the West, who hate America. We're getting to see behind the curtain. And that includes people in Congress. That includes professors and administrators and students, PhD students at these schools. They're going to keep going. For A, there's no consequences. Do we have the video of the student protester at UCLA? They arrested, I forget the number, it was a couple of hundred. We are over 2,000 now, by the way, across the country who've been arrested for protesting for Hamas and causing all kinds of damage and assaulting cops and destroying property. More than 2,000 have been arrested. That's a lot more than January 6th. And we know they arrested everybody who participated in January 6th. Everybody who just wandered through the Capitol has been arrested. Many of them are doing hard time. Well, these 2,000 people so far will pay no price. It is a glaring double standard for all the world to see. Here's video of one of the UCLA protesters, criminals, who got arrested during the melee with the cops 2 nights ago. She shows up at the courthouse. They hand her a summons, a citation, a traffic ticket, essentially, and a bagged breakfast. They give her breakfast and a ticket. They don't, you know how we said they will spend no time in jail? They don't even go inside the building. They're not even forced to go in and sit there and get written up and fingerprinted and photographed. They show up, or they get taken there by the cops, handed a ticket, handed a bagel sandwich. I'm sorry, they don't like bagels. That's too Jewish. Hand them an English muffin and send them on their way. Can you show this? Is she still wearing her mask?
She says she's a student, and she's just being released. As I said, you'll see she has a citation. She also has her breakfast here, and she certainly will be supported by other protesters who have also been released in front of the Twin Towers Correctional Facility, as well as fellow protesters who are here just to welcome them as they leave the facility here. By the way, they're not being brought inside the facility itself. From what I understand, they're being processed at a parking lot outside as they are bussed in here from the UCLA campus.
So they're bussed in from the campus, and they get dropped off in a parking lot, handed a ticket, a breakfast. They walk across the street, and the mob is already forming and cheering and welcoming them back. You tell me, why is this girl not going to just do it again? Why are they just not going to reconvene on campus if there's no price to pay? And at most of these schools, there's just no consequences for their actions. It's a remarkable thing when you think about it. You encourage this kind of action, this kind of misbehavior, when you don't punish it. And in fact, you're rewarding it. Let's go to Columbia. Columbia, this is amazing. Columbia law students, you know, your future judges and attorneys and Congress people. They don't want to have finals. The Columbia Law Review Administration Board student editors are asking the law school to cancel exams and give students passing grades because they are, quote, irrevocably shaken and, quote, unable to focus and highly emotional during this tumultuous time. So that sounds ridiculous, right? That they're going to get a passing grade and not take finals at an elite Ivy League law school. One professor has already acquiesced and agreed to give them all A's. They're going to get A's. Here's the statement from the professor. I'm canceling our final next week, as we simply can't pretend that academic business can go on under the current condition. You have all received a grade of A for this course. Please take care of yourselves. So they're rewarding the punks that not only protested, but hell, broke into the building, broke windows, completely vandalized the place with A's in law school. By the way, I got to mention this because I wrote this down. Columbia, as I've mentioned before, has a huge endowment. It's like 13, 14 billion. Columbia is the biggest landowner in Manhattan. They own half the friggin' island, and they pay zero property tax. When are we going to revisit that arrangement? When are we going to tax endowments? Harvard, which is a joke of a school at this point, which is just another indoctrination factory in a place, a safe space for these radical lunatics, has a $50 billion endowment. They own lots of land everywhere in Boston, in Cambridge, in the suburbs. They pay zero in property taxes. When are they going to pay their fair share? When are we going to tax the rich? And there's nobody richer than Harvard. But all these schools have money, and they just print money. They charge these idiots, you know, 80,000 a year. And the scam just keeps on going, and nobody does anything to hold them to account. It really is disgraceful when you think about it. The kids who weren't participating in this, are they happy? No finals, straight A's. You know, you're going to be a lawyer soon. Will they get, you know, will they get to pass their bar exam because, you know, they have been irrevocably shaken by the protests? All right, we got to get to, oh, by the way, there's an option for the very few who get expelled from school for protesting. And I assume that's happening maybe in Florida, maybe in Texas. I don't think it'll happen in New York or Boston. But good news if you've been expelled for protesting in support of Hamas. Iran announced they're offering scholarships to the students and the professors who lose their, who get kicked out of school or lose their jobs here in the United States. This is from Fox News. The head of a major Iranian university offered scholarships to students expelled from the U.S. and European schools over anti-Israel protests. Mohammed Mozini, who runs Shiraz University, made the announcement at a gathering of students meant to show solidarity with the anti-Israel agitators in the West. So you can go to Shiraz University for free. Just don't call us when you are taken hostage. Oh, I hope someone takes him up on this. Maybe that cute couple from UMass Amherst, maybe they'll be kicked out of school, although I doubt it, and they can attend university. Maybe some of the queers for Palestine can attend Shiraz University and see how that goes. It is just, by the way, I mentioned no consequences. Think of this. You pay no price. By the way, lots of schools are giving into their demands. At Rutgers, they made 10 demands of the school. The school agreed to 8 of them, including no consequences, amnesty for the violent protesters. At Northwestern, they're going to give scholarships to Palestinian students. They're going to set up an all-Muslim dorm in agreeing to the demands of the protesters. So we're going to have separate but equal dorms for Muslims because of, I don't know, a war 5,000 miles away. It's just getting crazier. The weather's getting warmer. The students don't have to worry about exams. And the IDF, the Israel is going to do nothing but continue their righteous effort to wipe out Hamas. They're going to go into Rafah. There's going to be more civilians killed because it's a war. Civilians die in war, which will motivate these people in America to step up their efforts. That's a bad development for Joe Biden and the Democrats and the Hamas wing of his party, AOC and Jamal Bowman and Rashida Tlaib and Ayanna Pressley. They're going to double down their efforts. They're going to continue lying and saying the cops are the fault of the problem here, the administrators. So it's going to get worse for Joe Biden, and Joe Biden will continue to pander to these pukes. We were asking yesterday, we've been asking for 9 days, where is the president on this? It was a profile in cowardice. He said nothing for 9 days as these protests roiled on campuses from coast to coast. Everybody was speaking out against it, including Donald Trump. And Joe Biden was nowhere to be found because he's just a frightened little puppet who does not want to offend the Kill the Jews crowd. He's afraid of losing Michigan. He's afraid of losing the squad. So yesterday, it got to a boiling point. And people have mentioned this before, but it's true. He watches Morning Joe every morning. That's what we believe. Every morning gets up, I don't know, whatever time, has his Mapo and watches Morning Joe. Morning Joe was calling out the protesters and saying, you got to stop, you're hurting Joe Biden. Al Sharpton compared the protest to January 6th. So did Mika, by the way. They compared what was happening on campus to January 6th. So this vegetable in the White House said, uh-oh, are the people around him. You better say something, Joe. You better get involved here. And we were wondering yesterday, would he come out? Would he say anything? Well, the answer is yes. He came out and made a 3-minute and 21-second speech. He essentially took one question and answered it with one word. He should have stayed in bed. This was so bad. This was so embarrassing. He is so pathetic. He comes out, and this is driving me nuts. It shouldn't bother me, but it does. Starts off by saying, peaceful protests are good. Can someone explain to me who is denouncing, who is opposing peaceful protest? Every one of these hacks, every one of these scared frauds says this. Every one of them. Oh, there's, you know, peaceful protest, it's part of the American way. Nobody said it isn't. Nobody's against it. Nobody's saying to ban it or outlaw it. Peaceful protests are wonderful. Saying kill the Jews is not peaceful protest. Blocking Jewish kids from getting to class is not peaceful protest. There's a difference. We all get it. I feel like I'm, you know, you're listening to a third grade teacher telling kids, you know, that peaceful protest is allowed. It's in the Constitution. Protest peaceably. But he had to do that. It's just, you know, it's peaceful protests are great. But anyway, you knew he'd do it, and he did it. And then, of course, he got to the usual pathetic, pandering, scared line about anti-Semitism. And I wondered this. Would he be able to denounce anti-Semitism, which is a real problem, without, you know, going there and saying, he's against Islamophobia, too. Let's watch and listen, and then we'll discuss. Go ahead.
There is no place for hate speech or violence of any kind, whether it's anti-Semitism, Islamophobia, or discrimination against Arab Americans or Palestinian Americans. It's simply wrong. There's no place for racism in America.
Oh, bold. I mean, that is real courage right there. No place for racism in America, said the guy who delivered the eulogy for a grand cyclops of the Klan, a guy who said he didn't want his kids to go to segregated schools because they would be racial jungles, that guy. But it's what we expected. All right, I got a question. Where's the Islamophobia? Where? Where's the problem we have with hating Palestinians and Arab students? This is such a spineless stance to take. It's just pathetic. The president of the United States can't condemn anti-Semitism without an asterisk, without a qualifier about Islamophobia. We've seen images for weeks of just abject, rampant anti-Semitism. It's a big problem, and it is rearing its ugly head, and it is frightening for Jewish kids. And he has to talk about Islamophobia? Where is it? Who? Show me. Show me the video, Ironhead, of a Islamophobic protest of people denouncing Palestinian students stopping Arab students from getting to class. Where? Can I see it? It doesn't exist. It is just a canard. He's just such a coward. That is embarrassing. It's bad when I hear it from Rashida Tlaib or Jamal Bowman. This is the president. The problem's anti-Semitism. It is remarkable how little Islamophobia we see. Right now, we're seeing none of it. But if you saw some of it, you'd say, well, I guess that's going to happen. people, Jewish students are understandably upset. They're lashing out. If they lashed out against Palestinians or against Muslim students, you'd say, uh-oh, it hasn't happened. It isn't happening. And he's denouncing something that doesn't exist to placate the extremists in his party, the extremists on campus. That's what he's doing. And it is pathetic. And it's wrong. He's just an embarrassment. And of course, this was another day on the campaign where Joe Biden spoke publicly for 3 minutes. And Donald Trump spent 7 hours in court, nodding off, closing his big, beautiful eyes and taking it all in. That was a good, he posted that he's not sleeping. He's just closing his big, beautiful blue eyes and taking it all in. And he did another good move. Oh, yes. Yes. This is Biden going to, where'd he go? To Charlotte?
Yeah.
And on the tarmac, just lost. The mayor of the city takes him by the arm and has to lead him away from the SUV, from the caravan, to wherever he's going. This is the president of the United States. God, it's uncomfortable. Trump made another great move. We've gone over it before. The bodega was a great move. Brilliant, brilliant campaign stop. He's stuck in New York. He can't go to Pennsylvania. He can't go to Michigan and Wisconsin every day, Wednesdays and weekends. Trump goes from court to a firehouse in Manhattan and brings pizza to firemen. Good Trump, good move, smart move, and shakes hands and takes pictures and just looks like he's having a good time. I heard this, somebody made this point, and it's a good one. They're, by confining him here, by persecuting him, they're bringing out the best in Trump. They are. He has less time, by the way, to go out there and you know, get in trouble, say dumb things and gaffes, and he's kind of limited. And when he does this, it's just a great contrast. You got him locked up, caged up. He gets out. He smiles. He shakes hands. He takes pictures. He looks ready to go. He looks like he has energy. And then you have the president, his opponent, who is attempting to put him in jail, who is shuffling around lost and pandering to the people who are tearing this country apart right now. It is a stark contrast, and it's working out great for Trump. Every time he does this, you know, the numbers go up. He talks about anti-Semitism. He talks about the economy. He talks about wars, and he sticks to the message. He has limited time, and that's a good thing. He looks like a guy who is just doing what he can in these limited opportunities to get out on the trail. But good day for Trump, even though he's still stuck in court, even though the mainstream media is spending all their time covering this fake trial, this whole pretend effort to put him in jail before the election, and it ain't working. But anyway, we'll be here. We'll be watching. It's going to get uglier and uglier. They're now on the campus of George Washington in our nation's capital, and they're ready to go. And the statue of George Washington on campus has been completely defaced. It's been covered with graffiti and stickers and signs, and they put a keffiyeh, a scarf, you know, the Hamas scarf, on the president, and it didn't get ripped off immediately because it's in Washington. If they tried that in the SEC, it wouldn't last 5 minutes. But you're allowed to do that in deep blue cities like our nation's capital. All right, we got to move. We got a lot to get to on this Friday. You know, I don't want to do this to everybody, but I'm going to. We got the most disturbing video. There's a lot of disturbing videos out there, let's be honest. I think we have the worst, the absolute worst. And it's, I saw it the other day. I read about it, and I wasn't going to do it because it bothered me so much, but I just can't get it out of my mind. I know you don't want me to play it, Ironhead. I know it is for any parent. It's just, it'll rip your friggin' heart out. It's just so painful, but I got to do it. And we will, yes, get to the Aaron Hernandez movie, which, or series on Netflix. and try to figure out who's playing me. Because as I've said before, as we know, I killed Aaron Hernandez. Yes, I did. I'm proud of that. I want that on my tombstone. Yes, he killed Aaron Hernandez. We can explain that and more, but first.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYN ads.com.
Excuse me.
Have you heard about Senolytics yet? It's a class of ingredients discovered less than 10 years ago, and they're being called the biggest discovery of our time for promoting healthy aging and enhancing your physical prime. Your life goals in your career and beyond require productivity. But let's be honest, the aging process is not our friend when it comes to endless energy and productivity. That's why I use Qualia Senolytic. As we age, everyone accumulates senescent cells in their body. Senescent cells cause symptoms of aging, such as aches and discomfort, slow workout recoveries, sluggish mental and physical energy associated with that middle-age feeling. We all know that feeling. They block nutrients from our healthy cells, but Qualia Senolytic prunes senescent cells away from your healthy cells. Take it just 2 days a month. The formula is non-GMO, vegan, gluten-free, and has a money-back guarantee. Qualia Senolytic has helped me be more productive and enthusiastic with fewer aches and pains day to day. To try Qualia Senolytic, go to neurohacker.com/newsmax for up to $100 off and use code word newsmax at checkout for an additional 15% off. That's neurohacker.com/newsmax and use promo code newsmax. You know, before we get to that really disturbing story I want to do, do you really not want me to do an Ironhead? Is it really going to bother you?
No, you can play. It's just an uncomfortable watch.
Oh, it is uncomfortable. Oh, by the way, I want to mention I mentioned no consequences for anything. And this is worse than not punishing students at UCLA. In Seattle, a mob of far left scumbags blocked a highway. I don't remember if this was because of support of Hamas or it was climate change or what it was. For 5 hours, they stopped people from living their lives, from getting to work, from getting to the hospital. They went to court, and a judge named Andrea Jarmon, who has got the full headdress and looks a lot like the campus protesters. Why do so many of them look like Lizzo, by the way? Is it something?
I have no idea.
Something in the water. They go to court for blocking a highway, essentially for keeping people captive for 5 hours. Dismissed. You can go now. Nope. Not even a ticket. Not even a summons. Not even, community service. They can go now. That's how it works in this country. The people on January 6th, they're still using every resource to track them down. They got the geofencing and the facial recognition, and they're arresting people today for something that happened 3.5 years ago. Nonviolent protesters are being rounded up and jailed. Why can't we do this with these campus protests? Why can't they identify? Hell, we keep hearing, they're outside agitators who are fanning the flames. Not students, professionals. Okay, who are they? Why can't the DOJ track them down, arrest them, tell us their whole life story? Why can't they knock on their door at 6 a.m. with 20 armed agents? Why not? We have the ability. They showed it. We know, violent protests are criminal. We know that they have taken it very seriously when it came to January 6th, not to mention any other right-wing protest, like abortion clinics. They track the people down and they bring them to justice. Why can't we track down the people who are involved here, who are funding this, who are supporting these protests and committing crimes? Why? Well, I think we told you why yesterday, because the Department of Justice, like every other bureaucracy, is infiltrated by people who sympathize, who support the protests, like Kristen Clark, the assistant attorney general. They have no interest in bringing any of these radicals in, arresting them, bringing them to justice. That's another reason it's going to continue, because the people in all these institutions, in the DOJ and academia, they all support it. And even Joe Biden's allies know it's a problem. Do we have Bernie? Let's Bernie's crazy. Bernie's a radical. Bernie's a anti-American piece of garbage. But Bernie occasionally, because he's old and he's crazy, occasionally blurts out the truth. This is behind closed doors. This is what Democrats are thinking. We got a problem. Let's watch.
Well, in terms of his campaign, you know, I am thinking back, and other people are making this reference, that this may be Biden's Vietnam.
This may be Biden's Vietnam, because it's not going to stop. And the convention where Biden's going to accept the nomination, if he's still alive, in August, we remind you, is in Chicago. Same place it was in 1968 when all hell broke loose. Man, I am looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to a lot of things this summer. You know, the Tyson Paul fight on Netflix. That's going to be big. Is the Olympics this summer? I always forget.
You got
Olympics
pushed
in Paris.
Yeah, I got pushed.
I'm not really looking forward to that, but I'll be watching. And then in August, oh, we also have, you know, the British Open. We have a lot to look forward to. I don't think I'm looking forward to anything quite as much as the Democrat convention in Chicago, when it is going to just get insane. And Bernie knows it. They all know it, but they don't care. Biden's Vietnam. That's what we're looking at. Vietnam, that was a righteous cause. People didn't want to get drafted. They didn't want to fight in a war on the other side of the world. This is not. This is protesting a war that these people know nothing about. Protesting a war and calling it genocide. That's what they're doing. Anyway, should we get to the quick University of Mississippi? If you haven't seen this, it's a lot different down south, a lot different than the SEC schools, which if I had a kid who was going to school, looking at schools, I would just cross all these schools in the Northeast and LA off the list and say, sorry, son, you're going to the SC, you're going to Alabama or Mississippi or maybe North Carolina. But they're not taking it at these schools at Mississippi. The frat boys in their red, white, and blue overalls just are not going to stand for these radicals. Show this.
Lizzo, fuck you, badass! Fuck you! And fuck you, know, bitch!
You can't, you know why you can't say they've gone too far, they're mocking this rather large pro-Hamas protester? Is because the other side, they're chanting, we are Hamas. You know, they're chanting death to America. So they're ramping it up and just mocking the protesters, which is what they deserve. And it's happening at all those schools. You know, Alabama is where they all came together with the Joe Biden chant, which hopefully has already been turned into an ad for Trump by somebody, because Joe Biden, all you got to do is play Joe Biden promising to unite America and then play the dueling chants at University of Alabama, which was just brilliant, just brilliant. All right, let's get to the story from New Jersey, which is, I'm going to warn you, disturbing as hell for any parent or anybody. I mean, I saw this video and I couldn't get it out of my mind. There's a father on trial. This is from the New York Post. The accused killer, New Jersey father, who forced his six-year-old son to run on a treadmill because the child was, quote, too fat, is facing murder. He's on trial facing murder. Murder one. His name is Christopher Greger, 31 years old. He appeared in court this week for stand trial for murdering his son, Corey Micciolo. He faces life in prison. They've offered him a plea deal, 30 years. He rejected it. So he went to trial, which, I mean, I guess if you're going to get 30 years, maybe you don't, you feel like you have nothing to lose. But I need someone to explain how he thinks he could beat the rap. During the trial, surveillance video was shown of Gregor forcing Corey to run on a treadmill after the boy fell off multiple times. Now, I read this and I said, did he really do that with a six-year-old? Who, by the way, isn't fat. He's not even a little fat. This is so sick. I always have trouble with parents, with obviously everyone has trouble with child abuse, but maybe in a moment of anger or something, if you hit a kid, you'd say, okay, that's going too far. But you were upset and angry and it was the heat of the moment. This is a guy, oh my God. So if you're watching along, he literally puts his six-year-old on the treadmill and cranks up the speed and makes the kid run. And the kid is running fast. And the mother is in court crying. Where was she when this abuse was going on? And the kid is falling off a treadmill, which hurts. Even if you're just a little guy, falls off because he can't keep up with the speed. The father just reaches down, grabs him, and puts him back on the treadmill over and over again. And this poor kid slams down on the and slides off. Get back on. Get back on. Oh, how many times does he do this? He falls off 5 or 6 times. And the father just keeps putting him on there. This is so sick and so sadistic. I'm trying to find out what his defense is. I guess his only defense is he didn't mean to kill him. The kid went home all bruised up and banged up and exhausted. And then he had a seizure at night. They took him to the hospital and they were unable to save him. He died from this, what we're looking at on the screen, from this sick bastard just putting him on there again and again. And he's got his hands on his hips and he's looking at the kid. He is torturing this child to death. Now, did he expect the kid to, I don't know, someday, you know, play in the NFL or the NBA? What was his goal here? The kid is not fat. He's not out of shape. He's 6. And he just keeps pouring. I mean, again, if he did it once, you'd say that's really, really bad. Over and over again until the kid just couldn't get up anymore and went home, had a seizure, and died. The scumbag is in court now, and he's all dressed up, and he's somehow fighting these charges. He's going to get life. He's going to get life in prison, and that's too good. Can you look at this and say he does not deserve the death penalty? Because I can't. That man right there should be executed. As soon as this trial wraps up, we'll give him one appeal. He should be executed. That is what you do in a just and fair and humane society. You put animals like this down. Oh, I can't even hear it. The kid's crying, probably, you know, begging for his life. And he just keeps throwing them on there. This is a gym, by the way. There's no other people around. There are surveillance cameras. Nobody else is there. Maybe they're on the other side of the room and they can see it and they do nothing. But I'm gonna follow this. It's on Court TV. Oh my God, I'm looking at the pictures. The kid is just unable to get up. He can't get up. And the father picks him up and puts him back on the treadmill. What else was he doing to this kid? I mean, this is one, you know, 10-minute clip. What else? What other kind of hell was this kid living through at home with this monster, his own child? How do you do that? I couldn't do this to a, I don't think I could do this to you know, Tsarnaev. Maybe I could. I could. Yeah. I'd like to do that to Tsarnaev, actually.
There is a line, and Tsarnaev's not on the good
side
of it.
Look at the kid. His legs can't even move. So a father holds up his body and makes him run on a treadmill. We need more coverage of this trial. We need to know more about this monster. We need to watch as they read the guilty verdict. Here's the arrest warrant. Said specifically by having Corey run on a treadmill and increasing the speed, causing Corey to fall, placing him back on the treadmill while appearing to bite his hand. The kid tried to hold the railing on the side of the treadmill. He bit his hand to get him to take his hand off the treadmill, to hold himself up. You know, when you're on a treadmill, you don't know that, Ironhead, but sometimes you're gassed and maybe it's too fast, so you hold the sides. you know, just to get a little break. He tried to hold aside. The father bit his hand, causing the child to fall several more times, says in the warrant. And then they got pictures of the kid on, you know, when he's at, you know, not being tortured by his father, sitting in some pizza place, smile on his face, happy kid. He's dead because his father is a sick monster. I want to know, did he think he was going to make him some super athlete? Maybe this clown got cut from the football team or the baseball team, and he's frustrated and he's taken out on his own son. And that's, you know what?
Usually how it
he
goes.
He deserves death penalty for him.
Yep.
I want mom to do 10 years. She's not going to. I don't even believe she's charged.
Are they like super rich and this is an at-home gym? Or is this?
I think it's a public health club or gym.
Oh, then she probably didn't know.
It doesn't. Yeah, but what if the kid comes home and says, "Here's what he did to me."
I thought he died right after this.
Stumbling, slurring his words, experiencing nausea and shortness of breath. So he went home and he was just done. He was having seizures and couldn't walk and slurring his words.
That's funny.
He died of acute traumatic injury to the heart.
Ugh.
Turned down a 30-year deal. Good. Now we get to see and we get to hope they put this monster down.
With his defense is just going to be, I didn't want him to die. I just want him to be in better shape, right?
Right, right. Good. Okay, didn't want him to die. He put a 6-year-old, cranked up the speed, and bit his arm. I'm sorry. I hope they don't buy that.
They shouldn't.
I hope the jury is as disturbed as we are. Because, and just looking at him in court, you could tell he thinks he's a tough guy. You know, he thinks he's a badass. I hope he goes to, maybe it's better off to be in general population. And every prisoner there could see what he did. I don't think they take kindly to people who kill 6-year-olds in prison.
You know, it'd be nice to be firing squad, but everyone aims low and they're like, oh, shit, got your knee by accident. We got to do this again.
You know, I just changed my mind. Put him in prison. I want him to die like Whitey Bulger. Ooh. Whitey Bulger died in prison when two guys who, you know, were mob connected, and they put, I forget what it was. It was like soda cans or coins. No, I'm sorry. It was master locks, like locks.
It was a mad ball is what they call it.
Padlocks into a bag and smashed him in the head until he was dead.
Yeah.
And he knew it was coming, too. He knew there were people in there wanting to kill him, and they did. I think he was in that prison for like 36 hours before they got him. I think that'd be a good way to go. Put him in prison and let, you know, prison justice play out. That's what he deserves. All right, we got to get to, speaking of killers, we got to get to the Aaron Hernandez story and my role in it, because I killed him.
Excuse me.
Today's Callahan Show is sponsored by MyPillow. Go to MyPillow.com. Use code word Jerry, G-E-R-R-Y, for huge discounts. For example, the standard MyPillow, normally $69.98, is only $19.98 with code word Jerry. MyPillow is made in the USA, comes with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. It's machine washable and dryable. It's the most comfortable pillow you'll ever sleep on. It makes a great gift. Get it now to support this show and strike back against cancel culture. As you know, Mike Lindell is constantly under attack from the cancel culture mob. By purchasing from MyPillow, not only are you helping us out, but you're joining the fight against cancel culture. MyPillow, as you know, not available in big box stores, but you can get factory direct pricing if you order from MyPillow.com using code word Jerry. MyPillow.com, code word Jerry, 800-893-7406, promo code Jerry. I knew nothing about this. I did not know. I usually, you know, stay on top of things like this pretty well, but this is in the can. This is done. The Aaron Hernandez story on Netflix. Or is this Prime? What is it? Let me get, I got the IDB right here. It's called American Sports Story, a series. Oh, I guess it is Amazon Prime.
No, the Netflix one. It's called Killer Inside, The Mind of Aaron Hernandez.
Oh, I'm sorry. So we got two.
I think. Wait.
We got two Aaron Hernandez stories. I'm looking at the one on Amazon Prime, and they have the cast.
Yep, that's the one. That's the one. Yep.
The guy who played Aaron Hernandez doesn't look anything like him. But they also have a Gronk, you know, they have a Josh McDaniels. They have all these people who are involved in Hernandez's life, all these characters, they don't have the radio guys who killed him. I think they're lifting them. Or maybe they just didn't include it on the page. But I have no word who's playing me. I know there are people are making suggestions, and some are good ones. Ed Harris, although Ed Harris is much older than me. To me, the obvious choice is Brad Pitt, but
naturally,
I don't think he'd take the role. Woody Harrelson. Woody Harrelson is my brother from another mother. We were born on the same day, so I think the Wood Man would be a good choice. But I don't know if it's going to include everything, but I hope it does, because we killed him. On the radio, we had a guest, Michelle McPhee, who had been covering it and written about it extensively. And she revealed on our show that Aaron Hernandez was gay. And we found out later she was right. He was gay and he had a boyfriend, a prison boyfriend. And he was just a sick, evil bastard. And so apparently they didn't know about this in prison. They found out about it. And the judge said that resulted in him being harassed, pushed to the brink. And then he couldn't take it anymore. And he hanged himself because we revealed he was gay and the other prisoners mocked and ridiculed him until
golly,
he couldn't take
like
it anymore.
What a homo.
That's from the movie. That's from the Aaron Hernandez documentary that was on Netflix from 2018 or 2020. I forget. But that was his best friend growing up and talking about how straight they were, even though they ended up like having sex with each other before school every day or something like that. But yeah, no, that's your fault. It's yours and Kirk's fault for him coming out. That's what it is.
Yes, and I'm proud of that. I mean, all we did was reveal the truth. Yeah. This one is called The Killer Inside. So we get two. The Killer Inside, The Mind of Aaron Hernandez. And let me get the, now that the Netflix one's from 2020, the Prime one's from 2024. All I know is they better. There's like 100 movies and series and documentaries about the guy. Just one piece of shit, lowlife, who murdered his friend because he thought he was a gangbanger. Just threw it all away. I mean, the guy was catching passes from Tom Brady. You know, guy was making millions, threw it all away because he wanted to be a badass gangbanger. Ended up in prison where he belonged and couldn't take all the mean things they were saying about him. So he hanged himself, and that's a good thing. But I'll be curious to see who plays me in this Prime. What's the Prime one's called? American Sports Story. It re-examines a prominent event involving a sports figure. The first season will follow Aaron Hernandez, the former New England Patriot and convicted murderer. I guess it's got, you know, appeal when you think about it.
Oh, yeah.
It's got definitely the Patriots. It doesn't list any Tom Brady character, though. You got to have Brady in there, don't you?
He'll probably play himself. He's two or three surgeries away from looking that age again, so maybe
that'd be great. Tom Brady as himself. But they couldn't get Gronk to play himself. Some guy named Leif Walshberger playing Gronk, who I guess he's got a big square head. He's probably a big guy. It says former athlete at the University of Delaware.
Wasn't he making like sweet, sweet love to a guy in jail named like 8-Ball or something?
Yeah. The guy was pretty open about it, that he was Aaron Hernandez's boyfriend afterwards. Yeah. He might still be. He was proud of it. Just a thug, career criminal, was proud that he was having relations with a convicted killer in prison. But I will check it out. At least I'll try to find that scene. You know, where they, when we revealed the truth about Aaron Hernandez. I remember it too. It was like weird. She started kidding around and mocking and saying, you know, he was a wide receiver or tight end. Now he's a wide receiver. Just stupid. It was stupid. It was juvenile, but it was effective because word got out and it didn't go over well in the cell block. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. I remember finding out when he killed himself. You know where we were the day he killed himself? Is that the character playing him?
No, that's his real jailhouse boyfriend.
Oh, Jesus, look at him. He's got the neck tats. He's got tats on his forehead.
Yeah, he looks like a SoundCloud rapper, basically.
We were at the White House. We were on the way to the White House with the Patriots when the news broke that morning. We talked about it on the air that morning. And then we went to the White House and everybody was talking about it. We were there with Trump. Trump gave me a shout out from the balcony. He was with Bob Kraft. And Kraft said, that's Jerry. He supports you or he likes you or whatever. Because, you know, most people, they didn't admit it. Bob Kraft likes Trump too. And he supports him. He just can't admit it publicly. But so Trump gave me a shout out. Said, hey, Jerry. And Jerry Thornton from Barstool tried to take credit, but we all know who he was yelling to. That day, all the players, you know, the whole team, Brady, Belichick, Kraft, they all found out that day that he killed himself. So it kind of was stole the thunder from the appearance in the Rose Garden. But what a wild day that was.
You're just bringing out anyway, swift prison justice. You and Kirk killed the guy. You and Kirk killed the guy.
I mean, do we not want that New Jersey father to get prison justice? Of course we do. Nothing wrong with that. If someone shanked Zarniev today in maximum security, mm-hmm. you know, Zarniev, who's still taking donations from people who send him money to spend in that prison commissary. Mm-hmm. If someone shanked him today, all I would ask was it painful? Was it excruciating? I don't want him to die quickly. I want him to suffer.
Yeah.
Well, why not? Well, why would you find I have a problem with that?
The way Netflix is now, though, you'll probably be cast as like a woman and Kirk will be a black guy.
No, I'll be trans. Yeah. I'll be trans. Kirk will be, right. He'll be a black woman.
Yeah.
I'll be a trans guy who looks like, what's that singer? The trans singer who's a big freak, the big fat guy. He's always.
Oh,
Smith.
Sam Smith.
Sam Smith. My guy will look like Sam Smith.
You'll have devil lingerie on.
Kirk will look like Kamani James. Yeah. And we'll say, oh, he's gay. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, it's too bad he couldn't have lived his true self when he was on the Patriots.
And you guys weren't pointing it out. They were like, oh, we were trying to welcome him, and he didn't like it, so he killed himself.
You know, I'm not going to watch. Why don't you watch Ironhead? You got time on your hands. Why don't you watch and report back?
You'll watch it. Come on. You'll have to watch it.
Let me know. Let me know if it's any good. Yeah. All right, let me know. By the way, before we go, I got to tell you something you must not watch. I'm going to do a favor for you and everybody else. Mm-hmm. I love World War II movies. You know that. I love anything about the Holocaust. I find fascinating. I love, you know, I don't love. Schindler's List is one of the greatest movies ever made. They should force every one of the scumbags in these protests, these pro-Hamas lowlifes, to watch Schindler's List. They should make them read Night by Elie Wiesel. There's some good stuff. There's one called Will on Netflix. It's about the German occupation in Belgium. It's really good, really dark. The movie that won Best International Film, I was curious. I want to see it. It's about the commandant of Auschwitz who sets up his family, lives in a house next to Auschwitz, and tries to have a normal life. It is so indescribably bad. It is awful. That's the movie that won. And the director, Jonathan Glazer, I believe his name is, made the speech at the Oscars about, you know, Israel occupying Palestine. It was controversial. So I finally get a chance to watch it. My wife has no interest. It has subtitles, which I can deal with that. It is so unbelievably boring and lifeless and awful and just tedious and supposedly artsy. Mm-hmm. It is one of the three or four worst movies I've ever seen. Truly, it is Moonlight bad. It is that bad. And you can, I wasn't Netflix. I paid for it. I paid $4. $4 I threw away for this piece of absolute garbage. So if you're thinking about clicking on Zone of Interest and wasting your money, do not do it. It is absolutely dreadful, awful, dreadful. That's my public service message on this Friday. Don't do it this weekend. You know what's Watch Beekeeper. It's just mindless violence with Jason Statham, but it's much, much better than Zone of Interest.
Did you see...
It's not even one of those movies where you want to sound erudite and say, oh, you know what I did? I watched Zone. It's so awful. It does nothing. There's no story. There's no nothing. Anyway.
Did you see All Quiet on the Western Front?
I have not the latest, obviously, but I got it. It's like 1917, which I love. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do that. That's another movie my wife just won't watch. Too dark.
It's
too depressing.
It's insanely dark. It's not happy at all. It's kind of realistic.
Right.
But I think it was made in like Germany or something. I forget. They were doing like a whole
dark movies in Germany.
Yeah.
I'll watch it.
They just put English words over it. There's no subtitles. So like the mouths aren't quite lined up, but it's pretty good.
I mean, I've seen 1917 about 10 times. I can't get it. It's riveting, but I'll check it out. I'll check it out. Maybe this weekend. I'll check it out this weekend, but that will do it for this Friday. And this week, thanks to everyone for listening. Thank you, Ironhead. I'm Jerry Callahan. This is The Callahan Show. We will do it again Monday morning.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. You can help by clicking the sponsor links in the show notes and take advantage of some great discounts available only to our listeners.